It's 99.9 KISW's Metal Shop. We're hanging out here backstage, getting ready for the Palace Law Premium Experience here backstage at Pain in the Grass Day 1. We got Adam, Nurgle Darski, Nurgle from Behemoth.
Woo!
They are here on Knotfest / Pain in the Grass.
Yeah.
Yes!
Hey, thank you.
Polish badass death metal superstars over here, man.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, Appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time to come talk to us, man.
Appreciate you.
Hey, so obviously we're up in the greater Northwest area, and so we wanted to pick your brain a little bit about what you're one of your favorite. We'll put you on the spot, honestly, too. What's one of your favorite Northwest bands of all time, if you can think of one off the top of your head?
Is Alice in Chains from around here?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Seattle.
That's Seattle, 100%.
There we go.
Alice in Chains.
Perfect.
All right, so we do a show called Metal Shop. We play you guys all the time. We've been playing you since we started on Metal Shop. But if you were to all of a sudden just get a metal show or get a radio show, it doesn't have to be metal, what are a few bands that you would play that you would make sure you have to put on the playlist?
And
for
want
a radio
people to
show?
Hear them, yeah.
Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, The Damned, Misfits, Danzig, Slayer,
yes.
Morbid Angel, and like billions of others.
Going from Nick Cave to Morbid Angel is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, my taste is pretty wide, and I mean, everything that has a quality and sincerity together. If you can just combine these two together, it's like I most likely will dig it. So yeah.
I want to pick your brain a little bit because most of us, especially people who are involved in heavy music, at some point, usually at a young age, maybe it's a sibling or an outside source, but most people have what we call that light bulb moment when you're young. What, if you can think back, what was one moment where you realized you heard a song or an album that made you go, I gotta be involved, man?
There's no like a single moment, or there's like several single moments that I have like a memory, like the first memories of were when heavy music did that to me. And I remember hearing for the first time the main riff from Perfect Strangers by Deep Purple. It's still one of the most heaviest riffs ever. It's not like dropped or whatever, but it's still like, I mean, the construction and the vibe, they're like a little, oriental vibe to that. It makes it sound so heavy. Like every time it's on the radio or somewhere, I'll be like, oh shit, it just brings me back to my childhood. Wasted Years by Maiden.
Yes.
And some Polish metal bands that I grew up on listening to, like Cut. K-A-T, you have that, I think, American female guitar player called Kat, with a great Kat, but there was Polish Kat, and a Polish band Turbo, and TSA, okay. like Polish equivalent to Led Zeppelin and AC/DC. We had that in the 80s, and they're still around, by the way.
You're schooling us, man.
Huh?
You're schooling us on Polish rock.
Call me Dr.
Professor.
The Professor. Professor Nurgle.
Well, school is in session.
I guess they get back to those times like...
Out of my class, Mike.
Everybody, you're out of the classroom.
So Mike, out of my classroom.
So back when you were a kid and you had to actually go out and purchase a CD or a vinyl or a tape, what was the first album that you purchased on your own, like with your own money that wasn't given to you as a present, that you actually went to the store and picked up on your own? Can you recall your first album?
Well, no CDs, because I don't think there were CDs already around that. Or maybe there were, but not in Poland. We were communists and we were
Sure.
Yeah, the Iron Curtain and stuff. So there were vinyls and there were licensed vinyls that we had, but they were like strictly limited too. But the first cassette that I got from my pocket money, approximately around 85, I believe, was again the Polish band Turbo, their first album, Dorosłe Dzieci. So again, some Polish here. But I remember just going to the nearest kiosk, like a regular kiosk that would sell cigarettes and and like press and just
kind of like
just,
a 7-Eleven or something like that.
Some newspaper. It's like newspaper cigarettes.
And they were like these two cassettes next to each other. One was Turbo, and I was like, I think I need that. But like on the cover, you got like all the band members just you know, wait like just. Holding guitars and just looking cool and stuff and like having long hair. Like, I think I need that in my life.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Hey, one of my favorite things that I've seen you been getting into is Me and That Man.
Yeah.
Your folkish kind of like countryish rock band. What made you want to get involved and get that going? And what's going on with the project there?
I have so many like different tastes and. Of course, you know, I'm very privileged and very humbled by the fact that we made Behemoth a successful band within extreme metal genre. But I'm also like, you know, my passions go like, you know, like the spectrum is like really broader. And I just decided to explore some other genres that I dig personally, okay? So there's stuff that is more mellow, more like whatever, folky or you name it. It's all blues-oriented music. And I just realized that I think I need this in my life. So I just started a band and we released the first record, Songs of Love and Love and Death. And as we speak, I'm completing the songs for the second album. Should see the light of the day next year.
On it now, huh?
Yeah, and it's gonna be a big surprise. I'm not spoiling any facts here, but it's gonna be. I mean, the formula. Have changed quite drastically. The name stays the same. The music is kind of same, but way more diverse. And yeah.
Well, look forward to hearing that, man.
We look forward to hearing it. I don't know if we'll necessarily play it on Metal Shop, but we'll certainly be digging it.
You'll be surprised. I mean, okay. There's a lot of metalheads that dig that kind of music.
That's true.
Plus, I remember, like, before I even met Corey Taylor first time, like, someone told me, hey, you got this, like, playlist on, I don't know, like, a podcast or I don't know where, but he would play Me and That Man. And so, yeah, it's well received within the heavy metal community.
It's still dark music.
It has like a, you know, there's some more sense of humor there, and it's like sometimes it's like one song can be like super serious, the other is not necessarily very serious, but it's definitely like dealing with let's say, you know, the quite dark topics, sinister topics. So yeah, I mean, and then I mean like. By nature, I'm a metalhead, you know. So even if I make this music, I think there's still like a little, you know, metal spices, you know, that I just throw over it. So,
wow. Yeah, you can't get away from it too far.
Yeah, I don't want it. You know, I'd never want to reject that. If it's part of my DNA, it's there. You know, you just can cut it out of your system and just throw it away. It's there. It's gonna be there. It's, you know, it's how we want to blend it with other genres, you know. I think I do it well, I hope.
You know, I had a question I wanted to ask you because, like, we're like, and I want to ask a few of the bands today because obviously we're involved in a pretty high energy musical underground network. And, you know, you've played a lot of shows, and we've all been in a lot of mosh pits. And every once in a while, you see something crossing the line. Like, Slipknot had to stop a show the other day because there was, you know, something going on that they didn't like. So, in the middle of people having fun in the high energy, have you ever had to stop a pit? We've all seen a pit go a little too far. Is there a line there where you've ever had to stop and take a look and go, hey, you know, we're all, you know, help each other out down there? Has there ever been a time where you had to stop and take a look at what's going on outside in here? You
know? No. I've never seen any of that. At the Behemoth show yet. I think I would react. And last thing that I witnessed in the pit was actually the guy being, you know,
I heard about
getting a from yeah. His maybe girlfriend or just some random chick.
And yeah, that was out in the crowd. You saw.
Honestly, I'd be the last one to make them stop, you know, because it kind of, I mean, me performing and seeing that and seeing that interaction, you know, like then I thought about this Nokia commercial that would say, Nokia connecting people. I thought like Behemoth connecting people. And I thought it was very positive. It was cool. It was very vital. So I wouldn't like to stop it in my wildest dreams. Actually, yeah. That was one of my wildest dreams. Yeah. That was awesome.
They were having a good time.
Yeah.
They were enjoying the show.
Absolutely, yeah.
Speaking of having a good time, one of my favorite parts of Pain in the Grass is backstage we have Motley Zoo. And they have some animals back there. I saw you connecting with one of the dogs. Are you an animal lover, and do you have any pets at home?
No, because I'm traveling constantly, so it'd be super irresponsible for me to get the dog and or cat and make him starve or miss me. You know what I mean? I cannot afford that kind of baggage at this stage of life. Eventually, yes, I would love to. I mean, I love kids, I love animals, you know. So one day, a family like full of that would be perfect. Yeah, but actually, yeah, I met friends with, especially one of the dogs, Nico. She's just gorgeous and like already attached to me. So it was amazing. I loved it.
You want to just
yeah, absolutely.
Throw him on the bus and take him with you?
I would f***ing steal that, you know. If we were in Europe, you know, I would do that, you know. But due to all this, like. There's just too much, like, the procedures and stuff. No, of course not.
So if you're just walking in, we're actually talking to Nurgle from Behemoth. They are on stage tonight here, today, actually, this afternoon at Pain in the Grass. And we have one question for you that is a question that is kind of a visual element to it. So if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us a story of how you got that scar.
And show us if you can. Without, or it's up to you.
Uh-oh. Keep the pants
right.
on.
Whoa.
We're not getting there. Yeah. There's like a little scar, you know, that the pee comes out of, you know.
Yes.
You don't want to see that. There's like a little thing here.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when I was diagnosed with leukemia, I couldn't breathe. And I didn't know why I couldn't breathe. And then I found out there's like 1.5 liter, and it's a lot. Where you have gallons, I don't know how much a liter is there, but this is 0.5 liter, I believe. So like 3 times as much liquid I had stuck in my chest.
Wow.
And it would just really complicate my breathing, and it would just make it almost difficult at some point. Probably a few days later, I would just choke on that and couldn't, and would just die. So when I ended up in a hospital, the first thing they would do, they would just drill that, like this big pipe right here. And for like 1.5 days, I'd be carrying like a jar like along me, and like this yellow liquid or yellowish water would just come out of my breasts or my chest.
Yikes.
And that's how I got rid of that, you know. And the rest is history, and I'm still alive. So yeah.
Hey, we're glad to have you here, man. Thank you so much.
Right on, man. Well, any final words for the Northwest audience before you take the stage here at KnotFest Pain in the Grass?
Yeah, I just want to say that we're very privileged being part of that tour. I think it's amazing. It just started, you know, so ask me that question in 6 weeks. But, I mean, already the vibes are awesome. I love the diversity that's on the bill, because there's so many, like, different worlds, you know, just mix up together. It feels awesome. And, let's rock and roll.
Right on. Give it up, Nurgle.
Yo,
from
Nurgle
Behemoth.
Hey, we'll see you on stage a little bit later, man. Thank you so much for the time.